Blog Talk Radio.
Titus 2.
But speak thou the things which become sound doctrine, that the aged men be sober, grave, temperate, sound in faith, in charity, in patience. The aged women likewise, that they be in behavior as becometh holiness, not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things, that they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. Young men likewise exhort to be sober-minded. In all things showing thyself a pattern of good works, in doctrine showing uncorruptness, gravity, sincerity, sound speech that cannot be condemned, that he that is of the contrary part may be ashamed, having no evil thing to say of you. Exhort servants to be obedient unto their own masters, and to please them well in all things, not answering again, not purloining, but showing all good fidelity, that they may adorn the doctrine of God our Savior in all things. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that, denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity, and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. These things speak and exhort and rebuke with all authority. Let no man despise thee.
Praise the Lord, brothers. Praise the Lord. This is Deacon Thomas Farr, and this is Issues Christians Men's Talk, the Messiah newest episode. And I thank you for taking the opportunity to listen in and joining us. Again, we are live on Saturday mornings at 9 a.m. You can call in at 646-668-2636, or you can go to our Facebook page at Issues Christian Men's Talk. Click on the link at 9 a.m. and listen in for this broadcast. And if you received it on your text or email, again, I thank you for taking the opportunity to join us. Amen. Well, I'm open with prayer, and I found a prayer during my devotional time that I want to read to the brethren to encourage us, because what we're going to be talking about today, we're going to be working out of, discussing out of the book of The Seven Friendships Every Man Needs by Justin Erickson. This is going to be, I think this is our third show, because it's one of the books that's on our summer reading list, and it's Seven Friendships Every Man Needs. So we're going to be talking about chapter 3 today. We're going to touch on some of the points, and Elder Mark's going to join us, and he's going to give his insights on that also. Amen. But let me read this prayer. This is a prayer, like I said, I found in a devotional, one of the devotionals that I was reading. It says, Pray Like a Man, a book of prayers for men. And this one prayer is about brotherhood. So I just want to put this into your spirit, into your hearing, and that you might be encouraged. Because when we're talking about friendships and connecting one to another, this is what men's ministry is about. This is what the body of Christ is about. Because as husbands, fathers, and sons, we have more in common than we are different. So we need to be have in our circle of influence men who would encourage us, who would pray for us, who would hold us accountable. Amen. So our prayer goes, a prayer for brotherhood. God, my Father, Jesus, my King, Holy Spirit, my Counselor, I need men in my life. I know it's not good to be isolated, no matter what my instincts tell me. I've turned my life over to you, and I need men in my life who are willing to do the same. I need to know other men, and I need men who know me, truly know me. I want to commit myself to other men, and I need other men to be willing to commit to me, to make me a priority in their lives, and I want to be honest and transparent. And I need men who are also willing to do the same. I need men in my life to whom I can confess, and they to me. I need men who will encourage me and help me to keep focused on you. I need men who will stand with me through hardship, and I with them. I need men with whom I can search for my true identity, for the one you dreamed of for me so long ago. Jesus, thank you. Amen. Holy Spirit, lead me to the right men, or bring the right men to me. You know who they are. I do not. I trust you, not my own worldly instincts. I pray that you build a brotherhood that will stand apart, that will stand in your name. Amen. Amen. And that's a prayer that we all should pray. Prayer for brotherhood, prayer for connecting, pray for having brothers in our circle of influence. Praying that we can come together and encourage one another, truly encourage one another, moving past the superficial, past the mask that we put up and the barriers we put up, but to have men in your life. And I'm not going to say this is not a thing we're talking about. Friendships and having those men in your life, those brothers in your life, is totally different than just having friends and associates. We all know that. But we all have to examine our life and who are the men in our life, who are the men we call brothers, and are we truly connected with them. So that's part of what we're going to be talking about today on the program. And I want to encourage you. Again, where are we at? We're in the book of 7 Friendships Every Man Needs, and that's what we're going to be talking about today. So I think that's very important. Amen? Amen, amen, amen. All right, gentlemen. So we're going to start with chapter 3. And chapter 3 says you need a solid peer to encourage you. Praise the Lord. Elder Mark, are you there? Can you hear me, sir?
Good morning, my brother. Good morning. Good morning. How are you today?
Hey, good morning, brother. I'm good. How are you?
I'm blessed. Thank you for asking. Thank you, man.
Amen. So we're going to go with chapter 3. And I want to read something from chapter 3. And as we start off here, because I read the wrong chapter. I was reading the other headline. But anyway, we need a best friend to uphold us. That's chapter 3. I was reading the wrong notes. I got to flip the page here, brother. All right, here we go. Chapter 3. We need a best friend to uphold us. And when we talk about relationships, we're talking about we're made for relationship. You know, God has made us to be connected one to another. And the Bible says that God is that it's not good for man to be alone. We know we use that reference for our marriages and our wife, but that's also for our companions, our friends, those who we need around us, other men that would encourage us and strengthen us. Because this Christian life is difficult to walk it by yourself. I can't understand how anyone can say they're a believer, say they're in the body of Christ, but they're not in the body of Christ. Because we're not connected with we don't have real, true fellowship and connection with other people, amen. And especially with men in our lives, I mean, it's hard. Because again, we struggle with a lot of the same things, and we have brothers, and you need people in your life who have overcome and endured some things. Because as we know, you know, the things that we go through, it's hard just having no one to talk to, no one to share. And something I said in the previous show, you know. For us who are married, our wives, we need other people in our lives because our wives are not built to carry the weight of what it means to be a man and how we deal with some of the issues we have to deal with. Because if we put that weight on our wives for some of the things that we're dealing with, that can affect your marriage relationship. It truly can. Amen. I'll just say that and let that meditate on it. Because your wife is not built to carry your weight. How about that? Amen. Amen. So I want to give a couple of scriptures. Amen, sir. I want to give a couple of scriptures real quick, and I'm going to come to you, Elder, and you can share your thoughts on it. I'm going to Matthew chapter 22. Matthew chapter 22. Amen. And I'm going to read this for the brothers, and then we're going to jump right in, and then we're going to jump right into the conversation. Man, hold on. I got a lot of stuff. I got too many fans here. Stuff's blowing. Close my book on me. Amen. So we're at Matthew chapter 22. And this is what Jesus is talking to. And it says in 22 verse 34. But when the Pharisees heard that he had silenced the Sadducees, they gathered together. Then one of them, a lawyer, asked him a question, testing him and saying, "Teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law?" Verse 37. Jesus said to him, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first great commandment. And the second is this. The second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets." And that right there, brother, when it says we should love our neighbor as ourselves. And this is about our neighbor. This is about having friendship, being connected one to another, that we shouldn't be alone. How can we fulfill that commandment if we're isolated? We're not part of a local congregation. We're not part of a men's group. We don't have other Christians around us, other believers enough in the faith around us and surrounded by us. And that's where we're called to be fulfill that great commission, that great commandment. Amen. And also, you know, as I was looking through the book, there's some other things here that were pointed out to us. There's Proverbs 24 and 6. I give that to you for your deeper dive and for your reading and study, and also Proverbs 18 and 1. Amen. So I just want to share those two scriptures. We'll discuss them later on in this episode, but I just want to put that for you. You have the opportunity to write it down and for your study, for your notes, if you're taking notes or if you come back later, to look at those scriptures and meditate on them and see what God is going to say to you through his word. Amen. That was Proverbs 24 and 6 and Proverbs 18 and 1. Elder Mark, what do you say, sir?
Amen, my brother. Yes, yes. You need a best friend to uphold you. We are not to be alone. You know, so many times we as men in our search to be manly, we say, oh, we can do it all by ourselves. I remember as a young man, I would always take pride in the things I could do by myself. But then I realized, you know, I'm not formed to do everything by myself. I'm not formed to depend on myself, because when I depend on myself and I'm weakened, then I'm the only one in a weakened state. But if I depend on a fellow brother who may be strong in the midst of my weakness, who may be the one that can encourage me when I'm feeling down, then I can be lifted up. And that's truly what it means when we talk about iron sharpening iron, the one that can be beside you. So we are made to depend upon one another. We're made to stand beside one another, to encourage one another. And if you think you can do it all by yourself, you've kind of lost the battle already, because you need a teammate. I mean, it's a cliche statement. There is no I in T-E-A-M, and you need a team. You need like-minded people beside you. I mean, the word tells you to gather with like-minded Christians, to gather with like-minded people, that we should not be alone. I mean, I never understood. Well, I can't say I never understood. As a young man, I felt like in my strength, I should be able to accomplish this on my own. But like I said, realizing that I needed somebody was where I saw what the word had for me, where it says, and you point out in Matthew 22, the greatest commandment is to love God and others. If we're called to love others, that means we're called to love them as our neighbor, love them as ourselves, love our neighbor as ourselves, to depend upon them, to reach out for them, and for them to do the same for us. So we are called to lean upon one another, to depend upon one another, to love one another as we love God. As we dedicate ourselves to God, we should be dedicating ourselves to our neighbor, to our fellow brothers, to those around us. So you have to find someone that you can dedicate yourself to, that you can depend on, and they can depend upon you in the same manner. When you have that, you have somebody to back you up. I mean, who wants to go to a fight by themselves and stand there in the fight, in the midst of everything, and have no one to help them out, no one to carry them through, no one to help them when they're down on one knee? Who's going to help you stand back up? You can't do it all on your own. Because when you don't have the strength, who do you lean upon? But so many times as men, we walk into positions where we say we can do it all by ourselves, and then when we're beaten down by our situation, we make stupid decisions because we have nobody to turn to, because we've always said we can do it by ourselves. We've always said we don't need anybody. And then when you realize you really do need somebody, let's just think about it. If a tree fell in your house, would you try to lift it by yourself, or would you go get somebody to help you? Simple as that.
Amen.
So when something falls in your situation, do you try to lift it up and move it by yourself, or you depend on some help? Do you ask somebody, hey, brother, this thing fell down. This wall has fallen down, and I can't stand it back up. I need some help. Or do you fight and try to push it back up to the point where you lost everything? Suppose you're trying to hold up a situation that so many other things are dependent upon. You're holding up a situation in your marriage that you don't know how to fight and you don't know how to deal with. Instead of asking someone to help you hold that one wall back up, to get that one wall back in place, for some ideas or some thoughts or some or just another point of view. You're asking, instead of asking somebody for that, you just let it all fall. The whole house falls because you were too stubborn to depend upon the help for one help in one situation that could have been the change of your life, could have been the change of your marriage, could have been the change of your situation. It's time we really realize, man, that we don't have to do it all by ourselves. We are called to stand like-minded. We are called to stand beside our brothers. We are called to stand and lean upon one another so that we can all be strengthened, that we can all be strong, that we can all attain the mission, that we can all answer the call, and that we can all lean upon one another in the times of need. Back to you, my brother.
Amen, brother. Amen. You're absolutely correct, brothers. And, man, we have to understand how important it is. Because, again, it's two things, gentlemen. We have to look at our lives. When we were in the world, I know everybody wasn't raised in the church or came to faith at the same at different times in their lives. But even if we look back when we were kids, you know, we had our friends that we ran with. We had our friends in school. We were connected in a neighborhood or whatever. And these things, and we were on teams, and we were part of something. But when we come to the body of Christ, we have to take that same mentality that we're going to glean together. We're going to connect one to another in the midst of whatever's going on as we do this Christian walk. That's our common denominator. That should be our common passion is God, is Christ, living in obedience to him and living to serve him. Amen? And then we have to come alongside other brothers who have the same compassion, the same attitude, the same convictions. There's something we're going to talk about going down the path, but I want to share something with you, some examples, because God will provide you with friends. If you show yourself friendly and if you're looking to make those kind of relationship connections, being proactive. The examples in the book, I'm on page 64, and the examples in the book he gives Elijah. When he was by himself in the desert, he was suicidal. He had a great victory against the priests, over 450 priests, but he separated himself, was in a deserted place. The queen was trying to kill him, and he got so depressed he wanted to die. He was considering suicide. We talk about David. He was out of place, alone, separate on the roof, and saw the woman bathing. We know how that all went. We look at John the Baptist, and people skip over that scripture, but John the Baptist, when he was first, when King Herod arrested him, he was in prison. He had doubts and fears on who Jesus was. He struggled with the doubt because he wasn't sure. He knew what God said. He saw Jesus, but he had doubts even if Jesus was the Messiah. But yet his disciples came to encourage him, to let him know that even in the midst of what's going on with you, even though he was in prison and he was going to die for the faith and for what he stood up against, he spoke strength to power, truth to power, he was going to die, but yet his disciples came to encourage him. Yes, Jesus was the disciple. I mean, excuse me, Jesus was the Messiah. So there's areas that God is going to provide us with friends and people that's going to come along to encourage us in the midst of all our struggles. So that again, we have to be in a place where we have to be, again, the word I want to think is proactive and steadfast, and that we want to seek to be around men and brothers that are with us. Because, again, you know, anytime I hear a brother talk about he don't need to go to church, he don't need to be a part of a church, I'm not understanding why not. Where else are you going to learn? Where else are you going to live out the things that the Scripture teaches? How we are to love one another. How we are to... Let me go back because it says something about... In the Bible, it talks about the one another's and how we are to live and treat one another. These commandments that Jesus has given us, the one another's, over 50-something times he uses that. But how can we live that out if we're alone and isolated? So if truly we're being disobedient to the teachings of the New Covenant. The teachings of Scripture are what Jesus called us to be as a church, to love one another, to be connected one to another. Amen? So let me say it like this. You know, I'm in the book. We're in the book seven friendships every man needs to have, and we're talking about chapter number 3. And I'm going to read one thing, and then I'm going to come to you, Elder Mark. You know, the book says, having the right friends is essential to our spiritual health as followers of Jesus. If you want to see what direction your life is taking and where you would end up, look at the guys who influence you. That's what you are and are becoming. And I think that's a statement we all could take to heart. Look who's around us. You know, our parents told us about who to hang with and who not to hang with, even when we were kids. See, that biblical wisdom goes throughout generations because some of us were told, you know, you can't hang around people, certain people, because of who they are and what they're doing. So that's one of the things that we have to be mindful to, even in the body of Christ, even as full-grown adult men, who's in our circle? Who are we hanging with? Who are we around? And when it comes to the things of God, who are we around that's supporting and encouraging our spiritual growth? And that's what we all should want to be. We all want to grow in the knowledge and the faith and grace of God, and we do that together. Amen? What do you say, Elder Mark?
Amen. Yes, my friend, definitely. I mean, it's the only way to grow is to be with someone who is an example. Because if you're with people who are drawing you back to your old ways, you'll never get out of those old ways. You know, who can – it just like someone who's addicted to something, drug addiction or alcohol addiction, when you're trying to get out of that place, when you're trying to grow to something different and change your life, you can't stick around alcoholics and drug addicts. It just doesn't work out for you. You gotta go with like-minded people. You gotta go with people who are going to help you to grow and help you to understand new things about life, new understandings. I have a new outlook. I love it. And the word is Proverbs 29:18, where there is no vision, the people perish. If you don't have a new outlook, you'll die in your old situations. You gotta have a new vision, a new outlook, a new understanding. Because if you don't, you'll die in that. But where you get that new outlook, that new perspective, that new understanding, you get it from people who have a different understanding or who have a desire to grow just like you do. When you are around people who don't want to grow, who want to be in the same place, it's like crabs in a pot. You get pulled back into the same thing. You never get out of the situation you were in because you're stuck. You're stuck thinking the same way, stuck thinking the old way. You have to change some things. When you want to leave the world behind, you have to draw along with people who also want to step away from what the enemy has told them, what they've been tricked into believing about themselves. God has so much for us, but we get stuck in a place as men. We get stuck in a place because, like Deacon said, we're convinced that we don't need to go to church. Why not? Why not look for some influences that change your life? Why not look for some influences that will change your thoughts about yourself? If you always think down about yourself and the people around you only think down about themselves, how will you ever get to a place that you'll begin to think good about yourself? Because all you'll see is dread. All you'll see is discord. But when you start to join with people who are like-minded and want to see growth, that's when you grow. That's when you improve. I think about so many times, when I started the Christian walk, when I started to really take heed to it. I mean, I've been saved from a young age, but having a true understanding went beyond just saying I was saved, beyond realizing and understanding what my salvation meant and what my service meant, what it meant to serve God, what it meant to be humble before God, what it meant to be a man of God, what it meant to represent God. I only received that as I got around people. When I tried to live in the world, I didn't have an understanding. I just knew who God was. I didn't know what it meant to be. I didn't know what it meant to represent him. I didn't know what it meant to answer the call. But as I joined with people like Deacon Farr, as I joined with men of the church, men who represented something, my outlook, my understanding, my mindset changed, and I was influenced to do something different. Before, it was acceptable to do the things of the world. It was acceptable to walk and curse and cuss and be in pornography and using drugs, walking the streets, drinking, partying, doing all those things that are now behind me because I joined with people who can influence me to do something different, people who influence me to look for God in my life, to serve God in my life, to walk a different path. And that's what we need to have. We need to have those friends that show us something different than who we were, show us who we can be, show us who we desire to be, walk with us in a desire to change. You don't want to be stuck in the old ways, so why be stuck in the old relationships? Understanding we're not meant to just leave people behind the wayside and say forget them because our life changed.
but we have to make changes so we can be the one that can show them a difference. We can be an example for them as well. Back to you, my brother.
Amen, amen, brother. You're absolutely correct, man, and you're right. These are the things, brothers, that we have to be able to meditate on in our own heart and mind. Where are you? You know, where are you? Where are you when it comes to friendships? Where are you when it's connecting with other brothers, men of God? Who's in your circle? These are all things that we have to consider every day. Again, we have to be proactive in this. What do we want to do? How do we want to best serve God and work as the body of Christ? We're a body of Christ. And in that body, we have to have men who are like-minded so we can lead in the home, in the community, and in the church, and that we can encourage one another. Let me say it like this. If you think you have all the answers for everything and you don't need anyone in your life, that's a problem. All I can tell you is I ask you to refer to Scripture. So, again, we have to judge. And when it comes to our friends, too, we have to be mindful of who we're hanging around, even in the church. Let me say this again. Even in the church, we have to be mindful of who we call our friend and who we connect with. I want to give you some scriptures here for your reading, your meditation, and for your deep study. Proverbs 1:10-33. Because there's certain types of friends that are dangerous to have around you, in the church and outside the church. So I encourage you to study Proverbs 1:10-31. Because you can't let the wrong guys into your life, because that will lead to your undoing. And you can get in a lot of trouble that way, having the wrong people in your life. Also, I want to point you to Proverbs 13:20. Proverbs 13:20. Whosoever walks with the wise becomes wise, but the companion of fools will suffer harm. Amen. Meditate on that. And also, I want to give you James chapter 4, verse 4. James 4, verse 4. Do you not know that the friendship with the world is enemy to God? Therefore, whoever wishes to be friends with the world must himself be an enemy of God. And that's why we have to be mindful of the men who we're connecting with in the church and outside the church. And that's what the gift of the Holy Spirit is. That's what discernment is. And then that's also to look, we have to be able to look at folks, the fruit of their lives. Elder was saying, you know, people who use, people who are fornicating, people who are doing all kinds of other things, and not people you want to be around. So in the body of Christ, I want to see the fruit of their life. I want to see who they are. How are they serving? How they carry themselves? How they're working out their marriage? I'm not saying you're looking for people who have perfect marriages, but you know people whose marriages are struggling. And do you want to be? Is that the example of the marriage you want, or how they're dealing and how they're showing respect and honor to their spouse? There's a lot to that. So you have to look for the fruit. You have to see the fruit of the Spirit in folks' lives, and that could determine who and when and how you connect with one another and connect and who the people are you to put in your life. Amen? Amen. Again, you're listening to Issues Christian Men's Talk. I'm Deacon Thomas Fall here at Elder Mark. We're talking about you need a best friend to uphold you. And we're on chapter number 3 of the book, 7 Friendships Every Man Needs. Well, I'm going to go real quick. We're going to flip through the book here. I'm going to go to page, I know you got your book there. I'm going to page number 70, because we're going to talk about a couple of qualities real quick here about what it means to have a friend. These are the qualities that we all should look for in the brothers that are around us. I mean, you know, it doesn't, I want to say this too. We all talk about having friends and best friends, but it's not about having just one guy. That's the other thing. It's about a group of men. Who are you tied, who are you connected with as a group, again, in your circle of influence? Because every brother, trust me, you're not going to meet one man, one brother that's going to meet all your needs to help you grow, and you can't meet all the needs of another brother to help him grow. It takes a multitude of counseling. Man, I think, where is that? That's in Proverbs 24:6, I believe, Dan. That just came to me. Thank you, Jesus. Proverbs 24:6, a multitude of counseling. That's why I always talk about why we need men's ministry and who is in your circle of influence. It should be more than one brothers that you're able to connect with, who encourage you, who are sowing different things into your life and can speak into your life in different areas. It's not about, I know sometimes we talk about friends being one-on-one, but that's not necessarily how what we need at sometimes, because we can't depend, we can't put that again. It's easy to lift a tree. The brother gave the example. If a tree fell in your house, how many brothers can you get over there to help you pick up a tree? Because just you and another brother won't, may not be strong enough. But if you had 10 other brothers on one tree, I bet it'd be, that tree would be a whole lot lighter. So any burdens that we're carrying, how many, as many men as we can trust and are in our circle, will make that burden lifting easier on everyone. Amen? So I pray that you would take that and meditate on that. Elder Mark, what do you say, sir?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Just having like-minded people around you, and like you said, it's just not one other person. It's just not one other brother. You know, I just, well, forgive the background noise. My little co-host is helping me out over here. It's
Amen.
Just not having one. It's not just having one other brother, one person around you, because even that person may feel weak. And together, you guys can. But it takes a village. It takes a village to get through situations. It's not just two men running out fighting. Let's just go back let's just look at it from a man perspective. Just world man, just being a man. When they went out for the hunt, they didn't just send two. When they went out to scout out the land, they didn't just send two. They sent multiple men. They sent a group of men out together that were like-minded, that had the same type of skills, that could go out, that could take care of the job, that could do what's needed. Like Deke said, you don't go to just, as I mentioned, you know, if a tree fell in your house, you need a brother to help you. You need somebody to help you lift that weight. But just one brother, one person alone can't help you carry that entire weight. But multiple, a group of like-minded men, people who are all desiring to attain the same mission, to do the same thing, to serve God, to honor God, to bless God, to walk with God. Sometimes one or two of the group may be swayed by something going on. Doubt may come about. There may be an issue, but there's another perspective. There's another idea. There's another thought. There's somebody else that's going to back you up, that's going to say, hey, bro, I understand. Brothers, I've been through this. Suppose you and your best friend are going through the same thing. You and your best friend are going through the exact same issue. And right now, as you're going through, you're talking and you're discussing, and before long you realize that you're both depressed about it, because both of you are looking at the same health issue, the same, whether it be the same issue in marriage, and neither one of you can find a way out, can find a way to think, a different way to think about it, another way to approach the situation or to even deal with it. There's that other person, there's that other man, there's that third in the group, there's that fourth in the group that can give you a different perspective. That's why we need more than just one beside us. We need to be in a group of men. We need to draw in our men's fellowships. That's why we can build so well together. That's why I love what Deke has led with the Man Up Coalition. It's men joined together for the opportunity to just talk. And talk out life and look at life from different perspectives and different understanding. Because as I say all the time, we are all shaped each and every day by our own issues. And those issues shape our perspective. Regardless to who we are, what we've been through, and where we are, somebody else can help us to see something a little bit different. Somebody else can help us to understand something from a different perspective and have a different outlook. And that outlook could change the very way you deal with it. That outlook could be what saves your life. But if you try to walk by yourself, if you try to depend upon just one idea, if you try to depend upon just one frame of thought, you'll be lost in the war. Like, who goes to war? I understand you might go into a fight and just say, hey, bro, I need you. But at the same time, you always know there's somebody else to call. When we were in the world, it wasn't just you and this one other guy who hung out all the time. You had multiple friends. You had people that backed you up. When you walk this earth as a man, you depend upon multiple friends. Now when you're walking this earth as a godly man, you need godly men behind you. Having a godly man behind you, yes, but you need godly men behind you, men that will help you, men that will stand beside you, men that will encourage you, men that will stand to influence a change in your life as they change. As we grow, as you grow, they can grow. And as they grow, you can grow. But that's the key to it, that we all grow together, we all work together, we all encourage one another, we all stand strong to serve God with one another. Back to you, sir.
Amen, amen, amen. You know, brothers, that's one of the things, too, we want to talk about. We want to encourage you. Again, all that we say and do here at Issues Christian Men's Talk is to encourage you in your walk, encourage you in your faith. Consider the things that we share. I pray that something would be said that would encourage you to reach out, that even those that you may be mentoring or discipling, that you can, this is an issue that you can bring up with them and see where they are. Because we are our brother's keepers. So we are called to strengthen one each other and to be able to let God use us in the lives of other men. Amen? So, in the book, in the chapter we're talking about, there's a couple of things I'm going to touch on. In the book, page number 70, it talks about convictions. We have common convictions. And to give the example of Jonathan and David. And for the brothers out there, you know, Jonathan and David, this story is 1 Samuel. You jump into 1 Samuel, you can read about Jonathan, David, their relationship, and all the things that they went through in their lifetime, as the Bible describes the stories. Amen? But it's something I want to point out, that it says that in the scripture, Jonathan was knit to David. And that knitting means they were tight. They're inseparable bond. And they're an example of a friendship. No matter what, they were committed one to another. Because if you look at the story, Jonathan was the son of the king, that David was anointed to replace, and Saul, Jonathan's father, was tried to kill David, but yet Jonathan was faithful to him. But the thing that ties them together was their common convictions, and that's the thing we have to look at when we look at brothers around us. What are our common convictions? Again, you know, because I'm going to give you a scripture here for your study and for your insight. Psalms 119, verse 63. It says, I am a companion of all who fear you, for those who keep your precepts. I'm connected with brothers who believe in Jesus Christ. I'm connected with brothers who believe the word of God. I'm connected with brothers who believe in living to the best of their ability to live a life obedient to God. And that's one of the things we can connect on. Our convictions about the Word of God and our convictions of a biblical lifestyle, that we're not living lives contrary. We are not connected to brothers who are living lives that are contrary. Again, I say, brothers, inside the church and outside the church. I mean, because we have to be mindful too. Our lives are connected to those who may not believe, but we should be in an evangelistic relationship with them, that we're living examples, and that even in the midst of what they might still be doing or how they might still be living, we are able to speak the truth into their lives that they might understand and might be converted. And let the Holy Spirit do the work of the Holy Spirit, that we're not the Holy Spirit. But also, your unsaved friends, you're not going to roll with them to the club. You're not going to hang out with them. You're not going to be in some of the places and do some of the things, you know, that we know are not lined up with the character of God and who you are in Christ. Amen? So, you know, we have to have wisdom when it comes to that imbalance. But we should be connected with other brothers that are like-minded, the kind of brothers that we be drawn to because of our convictions. Because not everybody doesn't believe what we believe as believers in Christ and believers in the Word of God, but those who do, we should be drawn to them. That should be the ones we're drawn to encourage and have a passion to be around and be with. And again, I mean, brothers, it's hard. I feel like we're saying the same thing, but this is a thing that we all have to make sure where we are. Because there's even some brothers that we may need to purge from our lives, relationships we need to purge, so we have to be able to evaluate them. This is what wisdom and discernment is about, evaluating relationships. I know brothers, I shared this before, and I'll share it again. I remember there was brothers who were in the church at the same time I first gave my life to Christ and began to study and to read, but those brothers tended to drift away for whatever reasons. Yeah, our relationship changed. It changed. It transformed. Some became stronger. Some became weaker because of choices in life. So we have to always be discerning and are we around people who have the same convictions? Because there's a lot of people in the church who are doing a lot of things that don't line up with the Word of God. And the spirit will convict you about the spirit of another. What do you say about that, sir?
Amen, my brother. I was glancing through, it took me back to page 71 in the book, and it says, in friendships, there's a principle that rings true. Like attracts like. Godly people will attract godly people, and ungodly people will attract ungodly people. Think about it. You know, when we walk in a certain way, that's what we attract. That's what we're attracted to, and that's what we attract. But when we change our hearts and we change our minds, we want to draw near to those people who will help us to grow. Once again, like Vika said, Sam's is always saying the same thing over and over again, but you got to understand, man, you got to understand, gentlemen, that the change in life, the desire for a change calls for you to make a drastic change sometimes. And that drastic change may be leaving the very old ways, leaving the decision that you would have made, leaving what made you comfortable. Sometimes we become comfortable to the point where we're complacent in the very things that we know are destroying us, we know that aren't the right things for us. But because so many around us become acceptable, it becomes acceptable, we become complacent, and then we just say, oh, well, it's not that bad. Our decision, our judgment looks at, oh, well, you know, it's only a little bit. It's only a little bit of drinking. Oh, it's only a few shots here and there. But those few shots turn into that night of lust or that bad decision that you made because you were influenced by alcohol, or that night or that bad decision to get behind the wheel of a car that could end up hurting somebody because you chose. You know, any of these decisions that we make happen because of influences, and the influences that we have around us are the things that we need to change so that we'll make different decisions. We can't make godly decisions walking with an earthly understanding. If we are desiring to walk the way God has shown us and the way God is calling us, we have to leave behind those very earthly things that we attached ourselves to. The enemy wants us to be bound by chains to those very things that kept us in a place. And if we don't release those things, it's just like I had the opportunity to minister and I shared, you know, the Israelites had the promise. They received the promise, but they didn't get the promise because they walked enslaved to where they were. They were so connected and so comfortable with it. When anything felt like a change, they wanted to go back. They weren't ready for a change. That's why they spent so much time in the wilderness. Right now as men, we spend so much time lost because we aren't ready to change. But we need to change who we are and recognize whose we are so we can get to what is really ours. Back to you, sir.
Amen, amen, brothers. Again, you're listening to Issues Christian Men's Talk. I'm Deacon Thomas Farley here with Elder Mark, and we're talking about friendships. One of the things I want to talk about in the book, I'm going to move to quality number two, and we're on page 72, and it talks about affection. All right, gentlemen, affection. And I'll say it like this. When I read this chapter, it says a lot about the affection and what that means, and a lot of brothers don't, we don't connect affection with our friendships. But when we talk about, again, example that the book uses is Jonathan and David, that they had an affection for one another. So have you ever told a brother that you loved him, that a brother, your biological blood brother, or that you have a relationship with a brother that you cared and you loved him enough and you had affection for him, you know? And I can't really explain it, because if you've never really had that, it's hard to explain. But at some point in our lives, we were connected with other men where we had affection for them. We cared passionately and deeply for them. We had a love for them. And that's what we have to do. And those are relationships we have to look for. Well, we pray that we can have, or we also have to get to a place where we're starting to build those kind of relationships, where we really know a man. We know brothers. We're concerned about their lives, their families, what they're going through, what they're dealing with. Again, I want to give you Proverbs 17:17. It states, let me read it here. It says, a friend loves at all times, and a brother is born for adversity. But when you talk about friends, the difference between a friend and a brother is that a true friend is a consistent source of love, while a brother of one's family may be close but is drawn near to help in time of trouble. Friends are closer than brothers because they are available at all times, not just in the crisis. Because, you know, I like family. I'll put it like that. We have family we can call when stuff is going on. We may not be that close, but our friends and relationships that we connect. Now, that can be a blood brother. That's fine. I'm not saying it can't be. But when we have, we're in a relationship with a friendship that is connected, that's closer than a brother, we have to consider that. We have to consider that brother that's there at all times, that loves at all times, no matter what. Because as you know, and I know over the years I watch families, they have issues over, you would think, little things. They become estranged over feelings and what was said and what was done and all kinds of stuff. But even in the midst of that, as members of the body of Christ, are we truly forgiving? Are we truly reconciling? But then I just put that out there, too, because, you know, families go through a lot and do a lot and say a lot, and they hurt each other. But in the body of Christ, are we looking for ways to reconcile, to forgive, to heal the brokenness and heal the wounds? I'll just put that there. But when we're talking about friendship, we're talking about Proverbs 17:17, a friend loves at all times. So who are the men in your life who you're connected with, you have an affection for, that you're really concerned about? When you hear something going on with them, are you ready to run towards them like a firefighter to a fire or a police to a call out cry for help? And that's what we talk about when we're talking about friendships and affections, that you have a deep commitment to them, an affection for them, to the point where you are willing to sacrifice for them to see them do better, get better, to help them out, to encourage them, to pick them up when they fall down. Who are those men in your life? And who? Two things. Are you that kind of friend, and do you have those kind of friends? Because I think it's really important. Because as men, we do a lot of things alone. We're alone a lot. And that loneliness, again, as always, or what I always say is, loneliness is you're bait for the enemy. You're out there, and the enemy sees you. This enemy is stalking you, and the enemy is waiting to pounce on you to destroy you, your life, your family, your faith. So we have to be mindful of who we are and where we are and what's going on around us and what the burdens that we're bearing, the doubts, the struggles, the things that we as men that we struggle with. Who do we have to come alongside and help us? And that's all what we're saying here. And as I was reading through the book, this is what the book is talking about. Why is it important for us not to be alone? Elder Mark, what do you say, sir?
Amen, amen. It's so hard to stand alone in the midst of a storm. It's a lot easier to lean upon somebody, to have somebody that can encourage you. And, you know, I love what it says about the second quality being affection. And, you know, we get it twisted as men when we think about the affection is, you know, the same thing as what we're having affection with our life, affection for our wives. Affection for our wives is, you know, it's erotic, it's romantic, it's all of that. We're not talking about men holding hands or snuggle or cuddling up and snuggling. We're talking about a time where you're willing to give up who you are to help them. It's an investment of your time, your energy, your resources. Like, the man who can call you in the middle of the night, are you going to say, man, I'm a little too tired? Or are you going to get up and run because he says, bro, I need you? Are you going to get up and answer the phone? And whether it means you're going to go help him change the tire or whether it means you're going to get up and drop on your knees beside your own bed and pray with him? Does it mean you'll get up and sacrifice your own time, your own energy, your own resources to help him get through because he would do the same for you? Because that's what the friendship is. That's the affection that you have for one another. That's the love that Deke is talking about. We're not talking about loving somebody in a romantic way, but we're talking about loving them, their interest, that their life means that much to you, that you'll sacrifice your own interests. I'm not saying that you're going to leave your wife to stand beside them. I'm not saying anything like that. I'm saying that you'll give up and you'll sacrifice to help them, to stand beside them, to serve them, to be the friend that they need. You'll give up something that you desire. If you say, oh, man, I'm too busy, I'm just too busy to help you out, you got to really think about the friend that you're being. Sometimes life is too busy. Sometimes life is going on.
but you have to have a willingness to sacrifice some things to be there for your brother. And just like he said, I mean, it's cliche, but we are our brother's keeper. We are the ones who are designed to stand beside the ones we call brother. Do you really love them? Do you really honor them? Do you really trust them? Can they really trust you when the chips are down? When somebody says, hey, man, I really need you, bro, will you give up that time and say, you know what, let me get out of my bed. Let me get out of my comfort zone. Let me get off my recliner. Let me get from behind the TV. Let me stop working on what I'm working on and leave and go help them because they need me. Because that's my call to service. That's what it means to be a brother. That's what my affection is. And we have to be in that place. We have to be in that mindset, not only as a service to our fellow brother, but that's how we show God love. That's how we love God. We're loving the God within them. We're loving them as a child of God, as our fellow brother. We will love them as we love ourselves. We would treat them as we would treat God, as we would do, as we've done unto them, as we do unto the least of those we've done unto God. That's our call. We've got to serve. Would you tell God I'm too busy? The same as would you tell your brother you're too busy. You got to be willing to sacrifice, to give up and serve, stand beside them, walk with them, be who they need you to be. Sometimes it will hurt. Sometimes it will be uncomfortable, but that's the call of a brother. That's the call of a true friend. That's the affection. That's the love that we are called to share. That's what we're called to do, and that's what we need to be as men. Back to you, sir.
Amen, brother, and you're correct. And brothers, you just have to consider. Love thy neighbor as thyself. Are we willing to shift priorities to help a brother, or what are we willing to sacrifice? And again, like Elder was saying, it's not about that we're going to forsake anything else. But if it's who we are, and we have a care and affection for another brother in Christ, to be faithful to him, to be a faithful friend, to shift our priorities in this life won't be a negative effect on other parts of our life. Our wife would know, you know, hey, I'm going to help this brother, and our wife understands that we're standing behind that brother. She understands that things might, you know, that there's nothing that, you know, basically, our wife knows who we are and knows what our relationship is. So if a brother calls, it's not going to bring turmoil to your marriage. You knowing how to shift priorities if need be, if the call is given, if someone reaches out to you. And that's where the balance of, that's a whole other thing we could talk about, relationship, because when a couple's in ministry, they are like-minded when it comes to ministry. They are like-minded when they know what it takes to serve others and to be a faithful friend to others in the body. So that's a whole other discussion on, as couples, you're ministering together, you understand. Because the same thing could go for your wife. If a sister in the church calls and they need to talk to her, pray with her, get together, that's not a thing where you're going to feel like you're losing something, or she's choosing them over you. You understand what I'm saying? And that's the thing we have to understand too, because that's a whole part of it also. And that's why it's about community. It's about relationships. It's about being connected in the body of Christ. Again, this is what the church is called to do and to be, to love our neighbors as ourselves. So me and my wife, we are connected to the point where we connected with other couples that we encourage. My wife is connected with other women. I'm connected with some brothers. And we're all connected and have a light. We have a common conviction and a common affection. So we're looking, again, as a community of believers to help, encourage, empower, hold each other accountable, challenge one another, and help each other grow in the faith. That's the right there is the definition of church. So what are we doing? How are we living? All of us have to sit and look in the mirror and see where we are when it comes to the things of God and comes to the things of faith. Because even as I was reading this book, there's examples they've given here. These men were connected. We're talking about Jonathan. We're talking about David. We're talking about John. We're talking about it gives a lot of examples here of a lot of things. Where are we? Because this is part of our faith walk. And this, I believe, is one of the reasons that churches struggle, ministries struggle, because these commitments and these same examples we're using here as friendships for men, this can go across the church. I believe, because if we had these same kind of convictions and some of these things we were being taught and discipled on, this is how we should live as a church, churches would have a greater and deeper impact. And a lot of the infighting, church hurt, and all those other things that we say, God is bigger. God is bigger than all that. But are we willing to humble ourselves and love our neighbors as we love ourselves? Because if we're willing to do that, the unity, the fellowship, the koinonia of the body of Christ, and we'll be able to accomplish more of the call that God has put on all our lives. And I think that's just part of it. But, again, we're here talking about men and their relationships. Because, again, as the men go, is the way the church goes. As the way the church goes, the community goes, families, and it's all on us, brothers. We have to really, really consider that, what God has given us as men, as husbands, and as fathers, and how we can affect all that goes on around God's kingdom on earth, here on earth, until he returns. We have a great responsibility, and the sooner we understand that responsibility, walk in that responsibility, and seek his wisdom and guidance on how to work this thing out, a lot of things will be able to change for the better until he comes back. Amen. Elder Mark, brother, I'm going to come to you, man, and give you the final comment, and then if you would, close us out in prayer. And I do appreciate you, bro. And gentlemen, again, this is Issues Christian Men's Talk. We're here every Saturday morning live at 9 a.m. You can call in at 646-668-2636. Join the conversation. Press 1 on your keypad. We can bring you in. Have any questions, any comments, or any insights you wanted to share to encourage the brothers, we invite you to be part of it. Also, you go to our Issues Christian Men's Talk Facebook page. We've got a lot of men's events coming up. We have barbecues. We've got Bible studies. Again, there's an ongoing Bible study on Saturday mornings at 10 a.m. in Glen Burnie. Out in Catonsville, I believe it is. No, I'm sorry, Laurel. Mondays at 7:30 p.m., there's a men's Bible study in person. These are in-person Bible studies. Come on out. Get out. See the brothers. Be around some brothers. Saturdays at 10 a.m. in Glen Burnie, 7:30 p.m., out in Laurel. Reach out to me. If you receive this in a text, give me a call, give me a text. I'll send you the address. And just encourage brothers to continue to press into the things of God, to encourage one another, and be a friend. Be a friend. Be a godly friend, that you might encourage someone, challenge someone, hold someone accountable, someone to pray for you, and for someone to pray with. Amen. Elder Mark, you got it, brother. And again, I appreciate you.
Amen. My brother, I don't think I could have said a closing statement any better than what you just did. My brothers, just reach out to be a friend, to stand beside someone, so someone else, as someone else will stand beside you. We learned about the quality, some of the qualities of friends. So continue, just stand as a godly friend. Stand as someone who will help to influence another brother to change their mind, to walk a different path than what the world says they were, aren't, or are not. So we just want to say, Lord God, we thank you. We honor you. We bless you, Lord God, as we have another opportunity to come before you, Lord God, presenting ourselves as humbly as we know how, to receive, Lord God, more of you and thus of ourselves, to continue to talk about you, Lord God, to learn about the call upon men, to learn about what it means to stand as a godly friend, as it means to stand as a brother. Father God, we just honor you, we bless you, lift our hallelujah praise unto you, because there is no one like you, God. There is no name greater than your name, so we thank you as we plead the blood of Jesus over every situation in our lives, every aspect of our lives. We just thank you as we stand as men, willing to serve, willing to change, willing, Lord God, to walk in a different way than we used to, that we look forward to another day, Lord God, that we have birthed once again as new creatures, with a greater desire to serve you, to honor you, and to bless you with everything that we do, representing you, representing you in the midst of this dark world. We thank you for this day and every day, and praise the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen, brother. God bless you.
God bless.
This is the year I breathe. This is the air I breathe. Your holy presence, living is my daily.